Welcome, Pewter Reports readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I'm Mark Cook, along with Scott Reynolds and the kicking curse master himself, Mr. Trevor Sikkema.
You know,
congratulations.
It's good to be back with you guys.
Way to go, Trevor.
It really is. It's an honor to be back here.
If you didn't listen to the last podcast.
And not fired yet. Trevor, although I could get fired mid-podcast here.
Well, yes. Trevor.
No, after the podcast, because we don't know how to put the audio
right,
up.
Right, of course.
Yeah, you have to do your job first.
Got a value we'll leverage right there. That's what we call leverage.
If you missed the last podcast, Trevor had a bit of a sacrilege.
Correctly.
Cairo Santos.
Yeah, missing kicks.
Missing kicks today.
I correctly predicted that Cairo Santos was going to miss at least one field goal this game.
Or,
now he did.
Or jinxed, whichever way you want to look at it. Predicted
you can look
or
at
jinxed.
It both ways.
No, I also predicted the day that O.J. Howard would score his first touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
I actually predicted.
And that's it.
Vernon Hargrave's first interception.
You also predicted DeSean Jackson would hurt his thumb not being able to play
that.
The last two games.
I
no?
didn't predict that. But
no.
It happened. If you want to give me credit for it.
Reports out of the locker room is Chris Godwin has a bad thumb and will not play anymore this year because
demanded
he can't.
A trade
because demanded
he got,
a trade.
He couldn't hook up with Jameis.
Right.
Deep punt. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Not good. Well, if you're listening to this and you're a Buccaneer fan, you already know what happened today. 28-14 loss. A game in which the Buccaneers really kind of control things early on, in particular that first half. And there were just too many mistakes. And Scott and Trevor and I were talking during the game. You know, little things. Missing Adam Humphries on that second drive when the Bucs are up 7-0. On that second drive, an opportunity to extend the. The drive on third down inside Saints territory. you know, I don't know if that was Jameis's bad throw, if that was Adam not getting turned around. What happened
both, really.
Exactly there? I mean, those are the kind of things that come back and haunt this football team because instead of first down, you know, inside the 20, probably around the 15, somewhere in that range, instead you're punting the football right there.
That's not the problem, though. Can we just get to what the problem is?
Problem's the offensive line.
The offensive line's bad.
Line sucked.
This is one of the worst offensive lines in football.
Well,
okay?
you're talking to a guy who watched Florida State this year. This offensive line is awesome.
Okay, all right, fair.
But for NFL standards?
This is one of the worst offensive lines in football.
Yep.
And what you guys were saying early on in the season, and, you know, we're sitting up in the press box and we're kind of, it's basically, it's becoming a conversation of, well, what is it this week, right? Which what is it? Is it the DBs this week? Is it the fact that they can't tackle? Is it the wide receivers? Is it the bad running game? Is it the bad O-line? It's something every single week. But the Buccaneers were a lot better at pass protection early on in the year.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And
hey, in the first game, they didn't have any sacks allowed.
Like, how much, I guess, here's a question.
The problem is Jason Light hasn't spent any money on this offensive line.
Yeah, that's not the problem, actually.
No, it's not the problem.
Well, he hasn't spent any draft picks.
That's not the problem.
Yeah, a problem.
Uh-oh.
Not a problem.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so how hurt, do you think the offensive line is this hurt?
Yeah, I think DeMar Dotson is.
Do you think they're hurt enough to make up it for what happened?
Then get your ass off the field and let somebody play who's not hurt. Because Trevor and I said it.
Yep, the problem is Leonard Wester's banged up too, and he's not any better.
He's not better than DeMar. You know what he is? He's hungrier.
I don't even know that that's the case.
We know that's the case.
We've
seen it with defensive backs this year, Scott.
This is true.
Guys come in and
this
off the streets who are hungry, who want to freaking play football. Donovan Smith has no interest in being out there.
He's talking about Donovan Smith.
Yeah,
DeMar Dotson wasn't. I mean, DeMar Dotson didn't have a great game. Donovan Smith, again, your franchise supposed left tackle, your blindside protector, you know. Gives up a couple sacks,
lazy,
has a couple
man.
Holding plays. I mean,
it's a contract year.
Every week,
it's
Scott,
a contract
and
year.
He does it in bunches. It doesn't, you know, that's the thing about Donovan. He doesn't have a false start in the first quarter and a false start in the fourth quarter. He has a hold. He gives up a sack. He has a false start and just freaking kills drives. And we saw Ryan Jensen do the same thing on another drive.
Yes.
You know, where it's just.
We just got the stats, and we're doing this right after the game. The Bucs had 10 penalties for 84 yards, really dived into the numbers yet, but I'm going to guess more than half of those penalties are on the offensive line out of the Bucs' 10 penalties.
Oh, sure. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And there was a couple that were declined by the Saints because they got a sack on the play they wanted to get off the field. But, the offensive line was bad. Donovan Smith, you're right, in a contract year, he's now, by my tally, given up 7 sacks this year, and the most he's ever given up is 5, and that was last year and also his rookie season. And so you're right. In a contract year, he's playing, I think, his worst football.
Yes.
And it's a damn shame. And he might even know this, and it might even take some comfort in this. But if you look, this is not a good draft at all for left tackles.
He's getting paid this offseason.
Yes,
is the problem.
And the free agent market, if you were to let Donovan Smith walk, he is the top free agent left tackle by far.
By
He'll
far.
Get $13-14 million a year.
This is the thing, is that people keep asking me on Twitter. They're like, "Hey, why don't the Buccaneers move him into guard?" They're not going to move him into guard. Stop asking.
Right.
They're not going to move him to guard. That does not do them any good. Okay, he is not going to be on the team next year if they move him to guard. It's just not going to happen.
I'll say
this: the only thing that
they
can do.
I think he's probably a better guard than Caleb Benenock, though.
All they can
you
do.
You're a better guard than Caleb Benenock.
Not anymore. Nah. I'm 46. Nah.
Yeah. All they can do is put him at left tackle and hope he's going to be a left tackle, because people are also saying, all right, well, what if
tackle? He may be a very good right tackle.
What if they bring him back at right or put him at right tackle or something? Okay, one, what is DeMar? DeMar is not as much of a problem as Donovan Smith is.
I agree.
So then you're getting rid of a different guy.
You got to have your guy that goes up against the best pass rusher has to be your best offensive lineman.
Yes.
Donovan Smith is not your best
offensive
lineman.
Move Ali Marpet to left tackle.
I mean, four positions in
I'm
4 years, what the
hell? I'm not
that
far away from saying that.
He played left tackle
I'm
at Hobart
really
College.
Not.
He's not. He's not going to be worse. He's not going to be worse.
And the thing that Mark was talking about when we were in the press box is, I mean, he brought up what you were saying, Scott. It's like, who else is there?
Yeah.
And the thing is, I don't know, but it's bad right now.
Yeah.
The offensive line cost them the game, okay? So if you're at the point to where they are costing you the game, it doesn't get worse than that.
What
happened? In a contract year for a guy.
What happened when Jameis Winston was bad?
They benched him.
What happened when Ryan Fitzpatrick was bad?
You know what? Listen. I get what you're getting at. And I think now that you are assured of not having a winning season, and the very best you can do is 8-8, and listen, I think even if you're the most optimistic, you know, Buccaneer homer,
this team ain't going 8-8.
If you are Dirk Cutter, you have to realize that you're not going 8-8.
No.
7-9 maybe is the best.
No.
And you know what? Maybe you do send a message to Donovan Smith and bench him for Leonard Wester and see what happens. I think that the worst case scenario is that Leonard Wester gets killed and gets Jameis killed and gets Jameis injured. Then you have,
but Jameis already getting hit.
Well,
Jameis already on the ground. Every
I mean, if he's giving up seven sacks, it's a wonder that Jameis hasn't been hurt this year.
Yeah, they're not really playing for much. And Leonard Wester, I mean, he's been okay. I haven't watched Leonard Wester and been, good God, that guy can't play in the NFL.
Caleb Benenock's a better tackle than he is a guard.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah,
I don't know.
Shift him over to right tackle. Throw DeMar over to the left side.
I don't even know at this point. I really don't.
Yeah, the problem is DeMar is so banged up right now. He really is. I mean, he is playing on one leg, and the reality of it is, if you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, truly going forward as a franchise, I don't care who the general manager or the head coach is, truly going forward, you need a new left tackle, you need a new right tackle, and you need a new right guard. And you're stuck with Ryan Jensen because of his contract. So you're stuck with him at center. Ali Marpet is a really solid, very good left guard. But you've got one guy that can play, and that's Marpet. You've got one guy that's okay in Jensen. And you have really three guys that are going to need to be replaced. And I love the old DeMar Dotson, but this is the, 31, 32, 33-year-old DeMar Dotson. How old is he?
He's getting 44.
Hey, he's not that old, but he's knocking on 40's door. He's getting he's probably closer to 40 than he is his prime.
Yeah.
So he's going to have to be replaced at some point.
Warhop's got to be gone, right?
He's definitely gone. Definitely.
But you can't. He's the running game coordinator.
No.
Well, hey, they did have over 100 yards.
Yeah.
They outrushed the Saints today.
Dirk let us know that they had more than 100 yards rushing.
Well, and Jameis is turned in quite the running back for this football team.
He's
two
led
weeks
the team,
in a row.
Yeah, 47 yards today. Peyton Barber had 42. Jameis averaging 9.4 yards per carry.
I mean, that will lead the NFL.
Hell, at this point, you might as well just incorporate some old Bill Snyder quarterback run game and run the ball with Jameis.
This is why I questioned during the draft why they didn't, you know, invest like a second-round pick. Just like a second-round pick in a running back last draft.
Yeah, they should have.
Rojo. No Joe, sorry.
You mean Ron Jones.
No Joe.
Ronnie Jones.
Hey, did you notice that Peyton Barber got hurt today, right?
Yeah.
Got hurt, I believe, in the first half, right?
Yeah.
They're
twisted
up.
The ankle.
They're up.
Yeah.
Whatever it was, either 7 or 14 at the time. Mm-hmm. I can't remember exactly what it was. I think it was either 7-0 or 7-3. They didn't even think about putting Ronald Jones in.
No.
No.
Jack was Rodgers.
Not a chance.
Yeah. No. I think Ron got in the game one play. He was in one time at running back. They didn't give him the ball. But he wasn't in very much at all this game.
It's extremely telling.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, to be fair, he was, you know, he was a low draft pick. He was 38th overall.
Well, so Jameis Winston completed 18 of 38 passes, did not have a very good day, didn't see the field very well. I talked to Adam Humphries in the locker room, and he said that the Saints, and even Jameis admitted this at the podium, the Saints really came with some unscouted looks. They had some very new wrinkles that the Bucs simply just didn't prepare for.
Well, you know, shit, guys. You know, if I'm Dirk Cutter, I'm coming with some unprepared wrinkles on offense.
Well, yeah.
That's a novel concept.
I think they tried to do some of those things.
We scored 48 points first game. Why would we dare change anything?
I don't know if they didn't change anything. I think it didn't work.
It didn't work. That's the thing. Yeah.
But, like, the nature of it. So people talked about Winston holding on to the ball too long. And some of the people on Twitter were saying, like, this has kind of been a narrative with him his entire career. And I would have agreed with you with that. I think that I've even said this before in a couple of previous cover threes, either last year or earlier this year, where it's like, hey, you know, holding on to the ball is something that Jameis needs to get better at. But this game, I don't really hold that against him.
I don't either.
Because he basically had, all right, hike it. And you got to remember, this is a vertical offense, okay? You can't watch Drew Brees or Jared Goff right. or whatever just dump the ball off really easily right. and then wonder, well, why doesn't Jameis do it? It's just not it's not
don't
the same script.
Force the ball.
Yeah. It's just not the
don't
same script.
Don't throw an interception.
And I don't want him to.
Don't exactly. force the pass.
I don't want him to.
Take a sack. Live and play another down.
Yes.
These are the voices in Jameis's head now.
Right.
Good.
That's
is it good?
No, yes.
What,
is it
good? 14 points is good?
When you're off
14 points
line
is good.
That
280
bad.
Yards.
You can't do
280
about
yards
it.
Total offense. Yeah.
You
that's
can't
not good.
Do anything about it.
Listen, Mark.
Go ahead. Coach
he's the
aggressiveness
kind of, he's
right
the kind
of the
quarterback that's going to throw picks. He's going to force the action, and the interceptions are going to kill
guess
you.
What? You
so you're
going to
die either
you
way.
Lost.
You're going to die
you
either
lost.
Way.
Guess what? You lost.
Yes.
You lost.
And the better team won today. Let's not forget.
Well, I mean,
the New Orleans
no
Saints are the better
that.
Team.
I agree.
They're the healthier team, and they won the game.
I agree.
The Buccaneers had their
and
shots.
And a better coached football team.
Yes.
Oh, no question.
There's no doubt
that's
about it.
That's what my cover three is going to be about this week. This team has no idea how to win. No idea. They were up 11 points. I said this after the game on Twitter. The Bucs minus 10 should have been the easiest bet you could make this week. The easiest bet. You should have bet the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Minus 10?
And I
come
did.
Come on. That should have been
the
easiest bet you could have had.
Yep.
At halftime, they were up 11 points.
That's right.
They were better. I said this at halftime of the game. They were better than New Orleans Saints in every single facet of the game of football at halftime.
Yep.
Every single facet. They won the turnover battle. They lost by 14.
Yep.
It's embarrassing. This team has no idea how to win.
Yep.
None. Whether they choke it away on offense, whether they choke it away on defense, the bottom line is, and I said this when I put out the recap, they crumbled like they always do. That's it.
Wait, I think I hear sleigh bells. You guys hear that?
No, it's the ice cream truck.
Oh. Well, it kind of sounds like Santa Claus. You know what that means. Santa Claus is coming soon, which means you need to go pick up some gifts
it's
for
your
loved ones.
Falling down
ones.
The chimney.
That's true. That's possible. but when he falls down the chimney, he's going to be carrying a gift certificate from T.A. Mahoney's, maybe a life vest,
for
maybe a new
Buck
fishing
season.
Rod for Christmas.
Maybe a flare gun.
A flare gun to shoot up in the chimney when he's stuck.
That's right.
Some come rescue me, Hillsborough County Fire Rescue. Listen, T.A. Mahoney's is your place to go for all of your Christmas needs. If you have a boater in your life, anybody that's an outdoorsman, T.A. Mahoney's is the place to go. Since 1948, they've been serving the Tampa Bay community. If they don't have it, you can stop looking. They have everything you need in the whole entire marine realm of things. If you can dream it up, T.A. Mahoney's has it. If they don't have it, they'll order it for you. If they can't order it for you,
it doesn't exist.
It just doesn't exist. T.A. Mahoney's, proud sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast. Check them out. 50th Street and Adamo. Make them your shopping destination for all your holiday gifts this year. T.A. Mahoney's, tamahoney.com.
You know, one of the things that Adam Humphries told me in terms of what the Saints did with some of those unscripted looks is they played a lot of two-man under. Usually the Saints, if they're going to go play zone, which they did, they played a lot of two-man, which is like cover two today, to take away those deep shots, is they will play zone. And then what you do is you incorporate your zone beaters. The Bucs called a bunch of zone beaters. The problem is the Saints disguised that exceptionally well. And Adam Humphries said, hey, they really took me away. They took Cam Brate away. They were taking Mike away. Usually
they took Deshaun away.
They took Chris Godwin away. It took everybody away. And that really forced Jameis to hold on to the ball because, you know, a lot of times when they're looking for the pre-snap reads, the Saints were in a cover two shell. And all of a sudden, Adam Humphries is like, hey, I'm 5 yards off the line of scrimmage, and I'm getting matched up in man. Mm-hmm. And that is not the Saints' MO. If they're going to play man, they're going to play single high. Mm-hmm. They played a lot of two-man under today, and it just really threw the Buccaneers for a loop. And you got to give the Saints pass rush some credit. I mean, Cam Jordan with two sacks. Sheldon Rankins was eating alive. Caleb Benenock and Ryan Jensen today. And it just was not a good recipe for success for the Bucs.
There was a lot on the line for both teams. I mean, obviously, the Saints have to try to, well, winning this game, and I believe Carolina losing simultaneously, was that
yes.
it? Got them
yep.
the NFC South title.
Yep.
So that was a big deal, obviously, to win there. But then to keep pace with the Rams, who are also winning, who possibly could get in the way of, obviously, them having home field advantage throughout the playoffs. So it was a big game there. It was a big game for the Bucs because they have to win to basically hope to get in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And one team came into this game extremely well prepared to win.
Yeah.
And the other one, and I think that has to do with initial game plan and then adjustment game plans, right?
I really think it was both, because
the Bucs were so lost in the second half on offense.
Yeah. The thing is, the Saints, what they did in the second half, these things that they disguised on defense, they were doing the same thing in the first half, at least after that first drive.
Yeah.
And yet there was the Buccaneers couldn't make any type
they
of adjustments.
They just didn't know how to I don't know. And that's a part of the game that I don't necessarily know, because I don't know exactly what the plays are being called. I'm not there at practice saying, like, hey, here's our emphasis for the week. We're not sure exactly what that is. But I do know that Dirk Koetter said multiple times in his post-game press conference, we've never been shut down like we were shut down in the second half.
Yeah.
And that, I mean,
hey,
if you were ever shut down in the second half, it means you can't adjust.
Yeah.
It means you just don't have an answer.
It's crazy to think. That
really, they were shut down for three quarters, essentially. I mean, first half, I mean,
yeah,
they did score two, but
if they're six, okay, so if there's 60 minutes in a football game, Bucs were fine for like 40 of it. All the Saints needed was 20 minutes to put up like 28 points.
Yeah.
It's crazy. The second that momentum shifted, holy crap, did never get back.
Look, punts should never be blocked in the NFL, guys.
Never.
I mean,
never.
And we've seen it every year the last 3 years. In fact, I think there were two last year, as a matter of fact, at Green Bay and also at New Orleans. Yeah.
It always feels like the Saints.
Well, listen, you're talking about production. The Buccaneers had a halftime lead in total yards, 198 to 104. Okay, and they led 14-3 at half.
Yeah.
And the Buccaneers ended up with 279 yards, so they had less than 100 yards in the entire second half.
Yeah.
That's getting
bad.
Shut down in the second half.
It was that's being
out-coached.
Wait,
hold on. What did the Saints end with?
The Saints ended with
298.
Okay. All
so
right,
both of these high-flying offenses ended up with under 300 yards. Drew Brees barely crossed the 200 yards passing mark. If you would have told me, Trevor, that, hey, before the game, I'm going to give you the stats here. The Saints are going to have 298 yards. Brees is going to pass for 201. He's going to throw a pick. He's going to have a fumble. And what's the final score? I'm like, I don't know, but the Buccaneers sounds like they're going to win the game.
Jeez, man.
And it didn't happen.
Bucs, what, had 500 yards of offense a couple of weeks ago, scored 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
Saints have less than 300 yards today and scored 28.
Yep.
Yeah.
And 25 if it came in the second half.
Yep, and those missed field goals were huge. The block punt. Listen,
so 25 of their points came on basically 200 yards.
Yeah,
in the second half, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yep. One team knows how to win.
Yeah,
and it's not the team wearing red and pewter.
Like psychologically too, it's hey, we're not gonna, you know, we're gonna change the dynamic by going for two. It's Sean Payton.
Hell yeah.
Keeping
loved it.
The gas pedal pushed down, going for 2 points right there to make it a 3-point game on 4th and 1, going for it, and sticking the ball over the end zone was Drew Brees with that little dive, and it's that aggressive type play calling and the execution that is the difference, and that's why the New Orleans Saints are your NFC South champions once again.
All right, so look ahead. We doing look ahead time? What are we? Three games left.
Yeah.
They're 5-8.
I think they win.
I believe right now they have
the Falcons.
They beat the Falcons.
I think that right now they have the number 9 overall pick.
Sounds about right. They're guaranteed to have a top 10 pick now, I believe.
If they don't screw it up.
I don't think they're going to.
No.
I don't see them beating Baltimore on the road. I don't see them beating Dallas.
Never underestimate this team to shoot itself in the foot.
Of course.
In every way possible.
You mean for the draft pick
including
too?
Including win.
No. Yeah. No.
I think this team's going to finish like 7-9 or something stupid.
I think 6-10.
Watch them win two of the last.
Is going to be the.
So here, Scott, actually, this is 6-10. This is something that I wanted to ask you because you and I have talked about this a lot, how December means a lot for coaches and for how you, I guess, just the entire future of everything that's going on.
Sure.
Did this game, or let's just even say this second half, mean more to the future of Dirk Cutter and this staff than the rest of these three games will? Or do you really believe that these last three games could offset what happened?
Yeah. Listen, if the Buccaneers win the last three games of the year and finish 8-8,
he's staying?
Yeah, he's staying. Absolutely.
If they win two of them, he's staying. Yeah. He's staying at 7-9.
Yes, I think at 7-9 he's staying.
Yeah.
Yeah, because what's going to happen is, for that to happen, is you're going to win the last game of the year, which we all have said on previous podcasts is a must. You got to end the season on a winning note. So if you count that as one win, and then he has to win two to get to 7-9
so
to keep his job.
So you think he has to win the last one and one of the road games.
Exactly. And if you do that, you're beating a good Dallas Cowboys team, and you're beating a good Ravens team. I think both of those teams
but
are going to be
in the
playoffs.
But if they go 1-2.
Yeah, 6-10 is hard, man. That's hard. That's hard. I mean, the Glazers could go either way at that point.
Yeah.
You know, they could decide to change head coach.
You guys got
a
lot more
Cutter.
Mercy for 7-9 than I might.
Listen, I'm not saying
I just,
keep him at 7-9.
This second half just left me thinking, why?
Yes.
Why?
The Buccaneers got outcoached.
Why
they
would
got outplayed
you keep
today.
Him? And I was legit, in the first half of this game, I was legit thinking in my head, damn, Cutter's turning around. This team's playing for him. Yeah. Jameis is playing better. They're wheeling and dealing on one of the best teams in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I was close to, you know, my next cover
three.
You were
buying in.
Basically being, hey, this guy's turned it around, and I've got to give him his credit for it.
Then I saw her face.
Jeez.
I'm a believer. I'm Trevor Sikkema. And I'm a believer, but only for the first half.
Now I just don't even know what these next three games mean.
Monkees were early influence on the Beatles. I don't know if you know that or not, Trevor.
I couldn't really hear what you said because you said a bunch of words that were like old school that I'm not going to recognize. Yeah. Really like mumbling.
Hey, we're the Monkees. People say we're monkeying around.
It's a great song.
I was going to make
band,
a point.
Influential.
And now I forgot what point I was going
to
make.
The point is, I think 7-9 is probably enough in this climate to keep Dirk Cutter.
Good Lord.
And listen, I'm not endorsing
that
move.
They had like 20,000 people here today.
I'm not endorsing
that. And 18,000 of them were Saints fans. How do you sell that next year? Is that not a big part of this?
If you're the Glazers, and I've written about this several times, and I've said it on this podcast, do you trust yourself when your head coaches that you've selected or at least endorsed are Raheem Morris,
but when you
Greg
know,
Schiano,
if a guy
Lovie
can't
Smith, and
get
Dirk
it
Cutter.
Done, if guy, I hear you
it.
Totally.
It's like,
but if a guy can't get it done, it's the same thing
it's
with
like
with
being
Donovan
in a marriage,
Smith.
Man. It's like being in a marriage. I mean, it doesn't matter if you have to be married 7 times till you find the right one. You just got to keep shooting, man.
You
got to keep shooting.
Alternatively, you could date longer and maybe not to get the government
involved. Well, I mean,
and you know what?
That's what the Glazers might do. They may date another year.
Yeah.
No, dating is when you fire a coach midseason and then you have an interim take over. Dating is what Mark Duffner is doing right now for the defense coordinator position. They can't really afford to date. Unfortunately, they've got to do a arranged marriage at the end of the season.
And listen, you know what? This might be a situation where they kind of piecemeal this together and they might look for a new head coach.
Keep Jason.
And keep Jason and maybe keep Todd Monken and maybe keep Mark Duffner. And they say, we want somebody in here that's going to manage games better. It's going to maybe motivate the players better. We're going to get a new offensive line coach. Listen, the Glazers have done this before in terms of piecemealing. They did that with John Gruden. They kept the entire defensive staff and brought in a new head coach, a new special teams coordinator, and new offensive coaches and did that. Now, listen, no one's going to confuse Monty Kiffin and Mark Duffner. I get that. But
I would. 298 yards to the Saints.
Listen,
Mark Duffner's been a hell of a
coach.
He's
done a hell
of a
coach. Yes.
Assistant coach of the
saying,
year by far.
Without
a
doubt.
Might be.
Without a doubt. But I'm just saying, credential wise, though, what Monty Kiffin has done, and of course, the talent he had to work with. But I just think that.
Shit.
That
Duffner, Sapp, Brooks, Lynch, Barber, Simeon Rice.
And they still lose this game.
Yeah. Somehow, offensively, they manage. I mean, listen, Tony Dungy lost a lot of these games.
Yeah, he did.
Yep.
Yeah, and some of those games were in Philadelphia in the playoffs.
Yep, absolutely.
I don't know, man. You guys are just I feel like 8-8's like the minimum for me.
Yeah, it is for me too, Trevor. It is. But you're asking me as a journalist what I think it would take, and I'm telling you, I think 7-9, and in probably in Dirk's favor, if it's beating Dallas at and then beating the Falcons and ending the season with 2 straight wins.
He's definitely back.
That's probably the formula right there.
He's definitely back.
I just don't know how you can sell that to fans, if I wanted to bet on that,
Scott, how do I go about doing that? That's what I want to know because, you know, betting is so much of my life.
Yeah, and I have picked the Buccaneers the last 2 weeks, or I should say I picked.
Can I start doing your picks for you?
Yeah, you need
You're
to.
You're going to go broke.
-10 should have been the easiest money you could have made.
I threw down the Buccaneers. I took it. I bet $9. I had $9 left in my MyBookie account, and I bet it all today on the Buccaneers.
Uh-oh. Somebody's going to have to put some more money in their account.
I'm going to have to. And the good news is I can tell you how to do that. Listen, guys, here's the MyBookie pitch. You've heard us do it before, and if you haven't joined up, sign up for MyBookie, you can do so now. It's not one of these things that, oh, the season's almost over, I've missed out. No, you can join today, and there's plenty of action to get in on, and not just the NFL. Watching football is fun. We get that. It's more entertaining when you got some action on the game. You've heard us talk about it. Get in the game. Do it now. Join MyBookie.ag, whether you're an expert or a rookie. And boy, guys, I've been the rookie lately when it comes to my bets. And if you notice, I don't give any betting advice because I don't want to be liable for anybody losing money. I've got my own money to lose. But you can pick better than me. I'm sure of that, Pewter Nation. So get out there and join MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little or a lot, playing the numbers in roulette, you can create a big parlay. They got this thing now. You pick 3 teams to win. If you hit all 3, you can turn $100 into $600. There's so much to bet on. College basketball just started up. NHL, NBA, NFL, you get the bowl games coming up in college football. They got custom prop bets, even esports action that you can bet on. You name it, the action is at MyBookie. I recommend these guys because I've used them now for over 2 years. They're the best in the business, got the quickest payouts in the game, great online reviews. Their mobile site is easy to use. Sign up today, and MyBookie will give you a 50% deposit bonus to jump in and start your bankroll. It's a great way to help out during the holiday season, getting some free money, right? Join MyBookie. Use the promo code Pewter. That's P-E-W-T-E-R, and they're going to give you a 50% bonus to start up. Also, make sure to follow BetMyBookie. That's at BetMyBookie on Twitter. They personally respond to every mention and DM, not to mention they've given away more than $10,000 in free money to their followers this football season. You'll be the first to know as soon as new bets, new odds, and new props are posted. Don't miss out. This is one of the best weeks to bet on sports all year long. Log on to MyBookie right now. Use the promo code Pewter, and you'll get 50% deposit bonus when you sign up.
Where were we?
We were breaking down the Bucs-Saints game.
We were kind of looking ahead a little bit. All right, so Bucs go to Baltimore. What did Baltimore score end up being? We were doing this right after the game.
27-24.
They lost.
Chiefs
ended up winning, so they're going to come in angry. Just kidding. Buccaneers are going to go in.
Does it matter?
Yeah,
I know.
Well, listen.
Bucs should have been angry.
Hey, the Ravens' defense is better than the Saints' defense, so I think points are going to be at a premium for Tampa Bay in that game. Also, too, the Buccaneers, they had some tackling issues today, especially in the second half. They got gassed, and you saw Lamar Jackson do his thing running the ball. Listen, the Ravens, they've got Gus Edwards. They've got Kenneth Dixon.
Who?
Some unheralded guys that are giving teams problems. They rushed for, I think, over 200 yards today.
Did they?
Yeah.
Dang.
So, and listen, you can't just sit there and say, well, the Ravens are one-dimensional, because Lamar Jackson did throw 2 touchdown passes. They used play action a lot, but they used the quarterback run game. And for a team like Tampa Bay that maybe doesn't have the top athletes across the board on defense, it's going to be tough sledding up there in Baltimore. And not to mention the weather.
And we know how Tampa Bay plays on the road, or how they have this year, too. They give up a lot more points. That means that offense is going to have to score a lot of points if things kind of hold true to form.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting, too, because, I mean, the biggest differential is that the points at home, it was 17 points coming into this game with Mark Duffner at the helm. It's 38 points per game on the road. We'll really see how Duffner's scheme and these players will respond. Are they going to revert back to their old ways where they're going to just get blown out with 38, 35
points? I'll tell you
points?
Now, the Bucs are not giving up 38 points next week. No way.
I wouldn't think so.
No, I don't think that's
going to
happen.
I think they've shown enough improvement that will finally carry over to the road.
34, but not 38.
34.
Agreed.
It could be.
34-17 next week. I want to go with an early prediction right now. I'm going to stick with that one the rest of the week.
You don't have to show up for the podcast then.
Yeah. No, I'm, your yeah, job I'm going ahead. I'm doing it. Exactly. Exactly. Trevor, you're going to Baltimore?
I am going to Baltimore.
Have fun.
Thanks.
It's a beautiful city this time of year.
Never been to Baltimore, so.
Try not to get
I've actually
killed.
Never been to D.C. either. I've never been like in that
DC's,
area.
D.C.'s cool. D.C.'s fun. Okay. Baltimore, not so much.
Too bad there's no history in D.C.
I'm flying into D.C., so.
National or Reagan?
You know, it's a good question.
Okay.
He doesn't know. He didn't know
that. Actually, what am I saying? Question. National is Reagan. Dulles is.
No, it's the other one.
It's Reagan. Yeah. National. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
All righty. Well, listen, guys, I'm tired and I'm hungry and I need a drink and I need a burger and I don't have any idea where to go. Help me out.
Ford's Garage.
Why do I always forget that? You're right. I actually ate at Ford's Garage.
I
want to
say Golden Corral.
That's not a bad place either. But
you like Golden Corral?
No beer, though.
When you're really, really hungry, you know, Golden Corral is the place to go.
You know what? I could go out for some all-you-can-eat steak for $13.
But if you want a hell of a burger and a huge drink selection,
yeah.
Ford's Garage is the place to go. They're a proud sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast. They continue to open up locations throughout Central Florida. There's one near you. I bet you if you go to FordsGarageUSA.com, you can find out where all of the locations are. And I bet there's one not too far from where you are if you're in the Tampa Bay area. Make sure to check them out. Let them know the Pewter Report sent you. And listen, Trevor's got what he loves. He loves the high-octane burgers.
It's true. Very true.
I dig the salmon. Scott likes the rum cake. We've all got our vices. Go to Ford's Garage. Order something up. Tell us what you like. Tell Ford's Garage what you like. What did you order? Take a photo of it. Put it up on Twitter and tag us and tag Ford's Garage in it. And you could win an awesome prize. Like a Quan Alexander signed 8x10.
Hell yeah.
Oh,
hell
yeah. Wow. What do you think about that? Oh, yeah. All right. Huh? Now
so we're giving one of those
away this
week? Let's give away one of those this week. We've got a Quan Alexander signed 8x10. If you go to Ford's Garage this week between now and next Sunday and you post a picture from Ford's Garage, we will enter you into the drawing for the Quan Alexander. We
got to tag at Pewter Report, though, or else we're not going to see it.
We're never going to see it.
And also tag at Ford's Garage. I'd like to hear that about that, too.
Definitely do that. So check out Ford's Garage throughout Central Florida. And anyway, well, we're down the home stretch, guys. We're all tired. The season's been a long season. You know, we're all kind of banged up like DeMar Dotson.
No, I'm fine.
Mentally.
Because you're young, Trevor.
Mentally, you're banged up.
No, I'm doing good.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, he's not a rookie, so he's not hitting the rookie
I got an aggressive cover three to write this week.
That's true. That's true. Monday mailbag on Monday, Scott's Fab 5 on Friday. Hey, if you didn't check out Scott's Fab last Friday, one of his better ones
really
where he
good.
Makes a case for and against Jason Light. So if you're on either side of the fence, you can go read Scott's thoughts on that.
Thank you, Jim.
And maybe he may convince you if you're on one side, he may convince you with his argument for the other side. Who knows? But check out Scott's Fab 5 from last Friday. Lots of good content coming this week on PewterReport.com, of course. Check out What's Cooking. There's still time to bid on the JV and Elliott signed mug and the Quan Alexander photo that we're giving away. What's Cooking Bid, hashtag What's Cooking Bid. Go watch What's Cooking on PewterReport.com and then make your bid for that autographed merchandise. That money will go to Panhandle Hurricane Relief. Javian's family was affected directly by the hurricane up at the Panhandle back in October, so we're going to try and raise a little money for that. But the bidding on that closes on Monday at noon, so if you're listening to this before Monday at noon, you can go online and bid. Again, it's hashtag What's Cooking Bid. All right, fellas, we will reconvene later this week for another podcast. We'll see what happens this week, and we'll see what happens on Sunday. We appreciate everyone listening to the Pewter Nation podcast. Tell all your friends and family. Check them out. They can subscribe on multiple platforms, mainly on iTunes, Podbean. What else, Scott? SoundCloud.
Yep.
Plenty of places they can subscribe to the Pewter Nation podcast. And we hope you enjoyed this one. A little bit more meat on the bone after the complaints last week. I'm just kidding. I didn't see the complaints. Scott said people were complaining a little bit last week.
More content. You got more content in this
You
one.
Got plenty of content. If you didn't enjoy this content, well, we're just never going to satisfy you. Anyway, for Trevor Sekema, Scott Reynolds, I'm Mark Cook, Sam, we'll see you next week with another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.
Out.